Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today on the program, we are launching a brand new initiative to reach children for Christ, which includes a new resource for kids. Do you receive our monthly Prophetic Observer newsletter? Each month, articles from Larry Spargimino and Josh Davis keep time on God's prophetic clock. Call today and start receiving the Prophetic Observer. Call 1-800-652-1144. Another outstanding resource that will help you stay informed and encourage your faith is our monthly Prophecy in the News magazine. Subscribe today when you call 1-800-652-1144. Print, digital, and gift subscriptions are available when you call 1-800-652-1144. Prophecy in the News magazine. 1-800-652-1144. Reaching the next generation for Christ is a serious focus of Southwest Radio Ministries. And today, we are announcing the launch of our new initiative to reach kids for Christ. It's called Sprout. And our very first resource under the Sprout imprint is a wonderful new children's book entitled Looking for Narnia. Today, we're going to visit with its author. I am so excited to announce the kickoff of our children's initiative here at Southwest Radio Ministries. As I stated earlier, we believe reaching children with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is an important thing, and it's of paramount importance here with our focus at Southwest Radio Ministries. And so we are announcing today a brand new part of our ministry. We call it Sprout. And that is to really talk about the children, the boys and the girls, that are growing. And yes, they are physically growing, but we want them to spiritually grow as well in the knowledge and in love for and with Jesus Christ. And to help that happen, we have been working on and working with people to develop resources that will speak to children and reach children where they are. And that's what Sprout is all about, as you might say. And we are so excited today to announce the very first resource under the Sprout imprint and Sprout banner. And that is a wonderful, wonderful new book entitled Looking for Narnia. It's written by Reggie Weems, and he is visiting with us in studio today and tomorrow. Reggie, thank you so much for being with us.
Matthew, what a joy, and it's my joy. Thanks for having me.
All right, first things first. I love the Chronicles of Narnia. I know you love the Chronicles of Narnia, and many of our listeners have probably already read through all of the Chronicles of Narnia. So tell us, in summary, what is this book? And I should preface this with, this is the first book in a multi-book series. It looks like right now it's planned for an 11-book series, which is awesome. But the very first one and what the series tackles, talk to us about that.
Sure. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to do that. C.S. Lewis changed his name to Jack at the age of 2. If you don't mind, I'll call him Jack when I reference him. Jack loved adult friendships. He didn't have many friendships when he was a child. And so when he grew up, he prized friendships. Tolkien was named Toller's nickname, that sort of thing. And so everybody had a nickname. And all of Jack's friends and family called him Jack, and I think he would appreciate us calling him Jack because he loved friendships and loved that circle of friends. And so I think it's like you and me talking as friends, and we're talking about Jack. Nonetheless, he was born in 1898 and born in Belfast, Ireland. Born to a middle-class family, his dad was an attorney. His mother was a Queen's University mathematics graduate, which was unusual for a woman in that day. He had a bigger brother, three years older than him, and eventually became a Christian after years of atheism, was convinced by the reality of the Gospels, the truthfulness of what the Scripture had to say. He said that he was a reluctant convert. He didn't like Christianity. He was angry at God because his mother had died when he was younger. He'd prayed and the Lord had not saved his mother from his perspective, and so he was angry at God for a number of years. But when he became a Christian, he became an avowed Christian, a very serious Christian. He was the kind of Christian that was so committed to sharing the gospel It was unusual for an Oxford don or an Oxford tutor to do that. It cost him friendships. It cost him promotions at Oxford because he was such a committed Christian and so open in sharing the gospel. And one of the things that really got him in trouble was the Chronicles of Narnia. Popularizing theology is what they called it, when he didn't have a degree in theology. You can imagine being at Oxford, not having a degree in theology, and speaking to theology.
You said something that really caught my attention. You said he was a serious Christian. Yeah. What do you mean by that?
He spent his life trying to understand the gospel better and share the gospel. And he really did, Matthew. Once he became a Christian, he was an all-in Christian. He was open about it. He wrote about it. He spoke about it. There was a club in Oxford called the Socratic Club where he defended Christianity almost on a weekly basis when he was in Oxford. Others would do it in his absence. One of his good friends, several of his good friends actually, were concerned about him because he was almost rabid. He was so open about this, so unapologetic about it, and didn't understand why everybody wasn't a Christian after he became a Christian. He was rather forceful on occasion about it. In his debating, he would be like that. He didn't like that about his dad when he was younger, but interestingly, he became that when he got older. The Lord tamed that. The Holy Spirit worked in his heart, and that changed at a point in his life. But early in his Christian life, he was very rabid, is the word that I would use. He was anxious to tell people. He spoke on the BBC about Christianity. It was said that his voice was second known in the UK only to Winston Churchill. And so everywhere he could, he spoke to RAF pilots. Imagine that. The government employed him to go to RAF bases and speak to pilots who at any moment could get in their planes and die. And Lewis understood the seriousness of that, that he was talking to men and to women who could die on any occasion. And so he was very evangelistic. That's really what's behind the Chronicles of Narnia. It's an evangelistic series of books written to tell the whole gospel story.
As the listener might have picked up by now, you are a very serious scholar when it comes to Jack Lewis, to C.S. Lewis. And for our conversation here today and tomorrow, and I know normally you're not going to be bragging on yourself and talking about all the different works you've done, but so that folks that are listening will understand where you're coming from, share with us, please, please, your background of scholarship and studying the life and the works of C.S. Lewis.
I was in a pastor's conference many years ago, and a pastor used an illustration. It was so moving that when the conference was finished, I wrote him a note and asked him where he got the illustration. He said that it came from a book written by C.S. Lewis. It was actually one of the Chronicles of Narnia. I'd never heard anything so powerful that described salvation and sanctification, and it was actually the de-dragoning of Eustace. And it was so moving to me that I wrote to him and asked him where it came from. He told me, and at that point I began reading. I was an adult in my 40s at that point in time. Had never really read Lewis at all. Knew about him, but hadn't read him. And so I just became an avid fan at that point of Lewis. Read everything that he wrote. To me, no one speaks about, and this is in the Chronicles of Narnia, it's in a lot of different places, it's in the Ransom Trilogy. Nobody talks about heaven and nobody talks about hell like C.S. Lewis. He takes us all the way up to heaven and all the way to the depths of hell, and he shows us the beauty of heaven and the horror of hell in descriptive language. In other words, he's painting a picture by the stories that he tells, and that's what he's trying to do in a lot of places, but as I focus on in this particular series, in the Chronicles of Narnia.
So we go from your passion of studying C.S. Lewis, and we go to the Chronicles of Narnia, easily the most read fantasy novel series in English literature, hands down, easy. And you say, you know what, I'm going to write a children's book series, but it's not, I don't know how to describe it, it's not really about the Chronicles of Narnia, but it kind of is about the Chronicles of Narnia, or how the Chronicles of Narnia came about.
Right.
Talk to us about that. Talk to us how you came up with the idea for the Looking for Narnia children's book series.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. In Surprised by Joy, on page 5, I think it is, Lewis introduces a nanny by the name of Lizzie Endicott. Interestingly, he does it right after he says that neither of his parents had a romantic bent, They were into storytelling. They were into mythology or fantasy. They were very factual. His dad was an attorney again. His mom was a mathematician. They just didn't have that kind of mind. And after he says that his romantic bent did not come from his parents, he introduces a nurse. 154 words is all he gives her. But he's written The Surprise by Joy 5 decades after he met her. And so 5 decades after he meets her, he introduces her before he introduces his brother, Warney, in the autobiography. And right after he says his parents didn't influence his romantic bent. And so he really gives Lizzie credit for doing that. He couldn't read when he was 2 years old when she became his nurse. She read fairy tales to him. Every biographer says this. She opened the wardrobe door, so to speak, before the wardrobe ever existed. Read fairy tales to him, told him about Irish fairy tales, went on holidays with him to the coast, where the world just exploded for him. And so I don't know what happened. I read this little 154-word biography of Lizzie Endicott in Surprised by Joy. I became enamored with Lizzie. I've written a book about Lizzie. It'll come out this year. It's a biography of Lizzie Endicott, first one ever written. I think she deserves a lot more credit, and I think I prove in the book, and I've proven in journal articles, that she gets should get a lot more credit for being an early influence on Lewis's imagination. But I just began to wonder if she and Jack went on these holidays with the family together, but she was his primary caregiver, and they adventured in some places that I know served as resources for the various places that exist in the Chronicles of Narnia. What stories did she tell him, and were there things they encountered that he kept in his memory and brought to the surface 50-some years later? He's writing Surprised by Joy at the same time he's writing the Chronicles of Narnia, so he's thinking about and writing about Lizzie at the same time he's writing these imaginative books. And so I just began to wonder, what kind of adventures they went on. I know they did. They went to some very magical places. Caer Paravel is the capital of Narnia. He found an early resource for that in a place called Downhill Domain, which is near Castle Rock, Northern Ireland. He holidayed there 3 times in his early life. He and his family spent more time in Castle Rock than they spent in every other holiday combined. That's how much the family loved Castle Rock. And right next door is Downhill Domain, which again serves as the earliest prototype for Caer Paravel. Lizzie was the first person to take him there. We know that from Lewis's mother's letters. So I began to wonder, what did they see? What did they experience? What did they hear? What did they touch? What did they feel that might have provided a resource or an inspiration for the Chronicles of Narnia, for the people of the Chronicles of Narnia, the characters, and for the places, and even the storylines?
So is it fair to say there's some dramatic license taken in your book?
Indeed. There's no question about that. I am supposing. Lewis himself said that Aslan was a supposal for Jesus. I'm doing the same thing. I'm supposing that Jack and Lizzie did these certain things, saw these certain things, encountered these certain things, and that's where Lewis got the ideas for the Chronicles of Narnia. Now, some I know, but some I don't know. I've had to imagine them. So I'm really doing the same thing that he did in the Chronicle.
So as we look at the very first book in the series, Looking for Narnia, what adventures are Jack and Lizzie going on?
Yeah. The first one really is all about Jack and who he is and how he became a Christian. When C.S. Lewis found Jesus, he found the true Narnia, which is his type of heaven. He found that. And so the first adventure introduces Lizzie, but it's really all about Jack adventuring to Jesus and how he came to know Christ as his personal Savior.
When a child has either read the book or reads the book themselves, what are you hoping that they come away with when they're done reading the book?
A few things. Thanks for asking that. I think if they've already read the Chronicles of Narnia, they say, oh, that's where that came from. That's where that came from, in a supposal kind of way. They'll have aha moments. Wow. And now what they've read in the Chronicles of Narnia is all the more meaningful because they get a sense of where he may have seen that when he was a child. The second thing I want them to see is that Jesus is everything, that he really is. He's everything. Here's a man who had everything and was willing to forsake everything in order to know and to love Jesus, and he did that. And so I think in Lewis they find a model of a child who suffered at the loss of his mother and in myriad other ways. He went through the war. He was wounded in the war. He went to English boarding schools where his brother said he was a square peg in a round hole. He just didn't fit in. He suffered in those regards. Here's a young man who suffered and was always looking. He loved Greek mythology. He loved Roman mythology. He was always reading, always looking. But when he found Jesus, he found what he was looking for. And I want young people to know that. There are a lot of things in the world to look for, but none of them can do for us what Jesus can do for us. And Lewis found that, and that's the end of the book, if you will, where he finds the true Narnia, which is heaven, of course, Jesus.
Great. Spoiler alert, he already told you the end of the book. No, I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
We're visiting with Reggie Weems. Reggie is a pastor. He's an author. He's a C.S. Lewis scholar, and he has written an excellent brand new book that we are very happy to be publishing. It is under our brand new Sprout imprint, which is a ministry that we are debuting today, and it is a ministry for children. And this book, Looking for Narnia, I cannot encourage you enough to pick up several copies of this book, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But if you'd like to order a copy or copies of Looking for Narnia, it is now available. All you have to do is call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Looking for Narnia at our website. Visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com. And there, whether you visit the website or you call the 800 number, you'll be able to order Looking for Narnia. And what is the age range, the targeted age range of the book?
A couple of things, if I may. Any child who can't read can be read this book by their parents. And in that regard, there's a dual audience, if you will. My wife and I have a friend who came to faith in Jesus by reading his children Bible stories. And so the hope is that while a parent will read this to a child, they too will become touched by the story of C.S. Lewis and how he came to know Christ, how his life was void of meaning, how he was searching all of his life, trying out a lot of different kind of religions, if you will, and nothing meeting the need that was deep in his heart. I'm hoping that adults will see that as they journey with Jack coming to know Jesus. So adults will read it to their children, and children will watch the pictures and see Jack's life unfold before them in the beautiful pictures that Amy has illustrated.
I'm glad you said that, because this is a radio program and people are listening online, they're listening on the radio station and on our podcast. And I forgot to mention, because we're on the radio, but this book, it has been hand illustrated and it is hand-drawn pictures all throughout the book, beautiful, vibrant colors, wonderful, wonderful hand-drawn pictures on each page of the book. And it just, the story is solid in and of itself, but the pictures, if I may be so bold with the author sitting right across from me, the pictures really bring the book to life and capture that attention, whether you're a little boy or girl or you're an adult, because I have read tons of books to my children over the years. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes those pictures keep you going when you're going through the book. And it's just a wonderful package. The book is a wonderful package of the images, the pictures that have been drawn for the book, and the story itself. And let's talk about one of those pictures for a moment. One of the pictures in the book that has been drawn for the book is of a train. Now, my littlest guy, my youngest son, is 4, and he loves trains,
Yeah.
What is the significance of the train in Looking for Narnia, the book?
That's great. Let me back up, Matthew, just for a second,
sure,
if I may, and say this. For people who've never been to Ireland, Ireland, with a small population, has produced 5 Nobel laureates in literature. It's an incredible number of Nobel laureates for, again, the small population. There's something about Ireland that promotes myth and joy and mysticism, and it grabs your heart. I always say that when Jesus returns and refurbishes the earth, Northern Ireland will need the least work. It's the most beautiful place on the face of the earth. And by the way, there are no snakes. So you can walk anywhere and everywhere. Not a single snake, that's right, in the whole country. And so for people who haven't been to Ireland and haven't seen what Jack saw that inspired him, these pictures will do just that.
Absolutely.
They will give you a sense of the background that he was immersed in that created these stories. Trains are extremely significant in Jack's life. He and Warney, his brother, loved trains. They said, the slower the better. They loved riding on trains. They loved the sound of trains. When they went to Castle Rock, any time a train came into the station, they would force Lizzie to take them to the train station. She knew some of the train drivers. That's where Jack got his nickname from, I believe, was from a train driver named Jaxie. And they would then get on the train, tour the various parts of the train, that sort of thing. They absolutely loved it. But when he was about 18 years old, 17 actually, Jack got on a train and bought a book on the train platform that changed his life. It was Fantasties by George MacDonald. Doctrinally speaking, if you will, I would say Donald MacDonald's not the most sound individual, but insofar as fantasy is concerned, he's a very good author, if you will. And he was trying to do the same thing that Jack did. In fact, it's because of what happened to him on that train reading Fantasties that he decided, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to capture the imagination of people and win them to Jesus in that way. He read that book and said, I've crossed into a frontier I know nothing of. He wasn't saved at that point in time, but it alerted him to a Christian reality. And he began thinking along those lines after that point. But that's how they would get everywhere, of course, in that day, was either a buggy or by train. They loved trains. His life was dramatically changed on a train. He never learned to drive. Many of your listeners have watched the movie Shadowlands, in which Jack drives, but not really. No, he never learned to drive. He didn't like mechanical things. He never learned to type. He didn't like mechanical things. He thought typing threw off your writing rhythm, that sort of thing. So he took trains everywhere, all the RAF work that he did, going around the country and speaking, the BBC work. He took a job at Cambridge for the last few years of his life, still lived in Oxford, back and forth on a train. Trains were a very big part of his life. In fact, I've been thinking for many years about writing a journal article, A Train of Thought, and preview all of the different kinds of trains, because trains changed over time that Jack rode on as he was doing this various evangelistic works that he was involved in.
We're talking with Reggie Weems. He is the author of the brand new book, Looking for Narnia. This is a children's book. This is for your kids, your grandkids. It is beautifully illustrated, and it tells the story of Jack, of C.S. Lewis, coming to Christ. And it is the kind of book that you will absolutely enjoy reading to your little ones. And let me encourage you to get a copy of this book today. Call 1-800-652-1144 to order your copies of Looking for Narnia. That's 1-800-652-1144, or you can order at our website, swrc.com. Now, before we go today, I wanted to ask you about Narnia itself. Is Narnia in your children's book, Looking for Narnia?
Narnia is in the model for us in the book, and there's even an illustration of the model. And so again, children who've never been, parents who've never been, I think after they read the book, they'll want to research Downhill Domain. They'll want to research Castle Rock because it's a beautiful part of Northern Ireland. It was very influential in Jack's life. Narnia is in the book in several ways. First, it's illustrated by Amy in the book. Secondly, again, Narnia for Jack was ultimately heaven. It was ultimately knowing Jesus. And so when I saw the last picture in the book after it had been drawn, I literally wept because it's of Jack and Lizzie. I don't want to give it away, but it's of Jack and Lizzie. And it made me cry because it was everything that Jack ever wanted in his life. And it perfectly portrays what he had hoped for the whole of his life after he became a Christian, finding his true country. Not Narnia, but something more real than Narnia.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the moms and dads out there and the grandmas and grandpas out there. This is an excellent children's book for you and for your kids and grandkids, not just because I say it is, but because of the heart that is in this book and ultimately the message that is in this book. Looking for Narnia is a wonderfully messaged book about Jesus Christ and about Amen. Wanting, about needing and about finding Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I cannot encourage you enough to get a copy of this book for your family today. It's called Looking for Narnia, and you can order it today by calling 1-800-652-1144 or visiting the website swrc.com. On our next program, we're going to continue the conversation with Reggie about not only the book Looking for Narnia, but about C.S. Lewis, about Aslan, and about the White Witch from Narnia. We're going to talk about all of those things coming up on our next program here on Southwest Radio Ministries. Today, we are debuting the very first book of our children-focused ministry, Sprout. The book, Looking for Narnia, by Reggie Weems. The Chronicles of Narnia is one of the best-loved, most-read children's series in the history of English literature. Several biographies have been written about its author, but no account has yet told the story of the Chronicles themselves. Where did C.S. Lewis get all those wonderful images, characters, and stories he imagined? Now, for the first time, and in a nod to Lewis's own fantasy-making storytelling, Reggie Weems goes behind the wardrobe to give young and old readers alike an enthralling glimpse of the people, places, and tales that inflamed Lewis's imagination and may have inspired his stories. Join Jack and Lizzie, his fairy-telling nanny, in one adventure after another as you watch the Chronicles of Narnia come to life before your very eyes. Looking for Narnia by Pastor Reggie Weems is a fully illustrated book that you can share with your children and grandchildren. Order your copy of this brand new book for children, Looking for Narnia. Order your copy today, 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. Looking for Narnia, 1-800-652-1144. Friends, if you have a prayer need, would you let us pray for you? We consider it an honor to pray with you. Prayer requests come in from all over the country through the mail, on the phone, and now through a special email address, prayer@swrc.com. That's prayer@swrc.com. Or you can always just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we continue our look inside the wardrobe. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.